seemed somewhat like eyes. For a moment, the Marquis was inclined to say that it was only rubbish and should be thrown away, but he took it from his valet, asking, "You say this was in my evening coat?" "Yes, my lord, in one of the tales." The Marquis looked surprised. He was aware, but did not say so, that it must have been pressed in through a gap in the stitching at the top or at the side of the tail, as there was no obvious opening such as a pocket. Then, because his valet was looking at him expectantly, he said, "Put it down, please, and I will look at it later." He finished dressing, taking trouble over his tie and making certain that everything about his attire was neat and correct. He was conscious of the fact that he was considered not only one of the most handsome men in London, but one of the best dressed. It was indeed a compliment that he appreciated. When he was finally ready, he picked up the stone his valet had found, and carrying it in his hand, he walked downstairs to his study. It was an attractively furnished room, as were all the rooms in his house in Grosvenor Square. The pictures on the walls were exceptionally fine and exquisitely painted. The Marquis was frowning as he sat down at his regency desk, with its flat top and polished brass feet. He placed the small stone on his blotting pad and stared at it. He recognised instantly exactly what it was. On one of his travels, and he had travelled a great deal around the world, he had visited Haiti. He was quite certain that what his valet found in his coat tail was a charm or talisman from that particular country. When he thought it over, he realised who had secreted it there, and for what purpose. He had been pursued by Lady Marshall for a long time, before he finally succumbed to her insistent entreaties and had become her lover. Her husband, Lord Marshall, was obsessed by the sport of fishing. He spent most of his time going from river to river in England and Scotland to catch salmon, trout, or any other fish that was available. His very beautiful wife, being left alone in London, not surprisingly granted her favours to the many men who pursued her. She was certainly outstanding amongst the professional beauties, as they were called, who were to be found at Marlborough House. The Prince of Wales had set the current fashion for gentlemen to pursue beautiful ladies of their own class after he had met Lily Langtry. Until then, it was considered correct for gentlemen like the Marquis to keep a mistress not of his own class in a discreet little house in Regent's Park or Chelsea. There was no question of the mistresses parading such affairs de cour in the social world. Of course, there were secret liaisons in society, but they were in fact kept very secret. Even the gossips who pried into everything found it difficult to be certain of the scandals they were whispering about. Was it not true that the lovely Duchess of Manchester was having a love affair with Lord Harrington? Were two other acclaimed beauties actually being unfaithful to their husbands? The Marquis was certainly not the first lover Lady Marshall had taken since her marriage. As he was exceptionally fastidious, he did not wish to follow a certain duke whom he thought had preceded him. Lady Marshall, however, was used to getting her own way. She had no intention whatever of being refused by any man on whom she had turned her strange green eyes. They were combined with brilliant dark hair with touches of blue. Her white skin was the envy of every other London beauty. Her slender, sinuous, and exquisite figure made it difficult to believe that any man could refuse her. The Marquis, however, had remained aloof in his own particular way. He consistently ignored the very obvious invitations in her eyes. She had invited him on numerous occasions to dinner, all of which he had refused. He had, however, spent much time in her company at other parties. He was not absolutely sure when he found himself invariably sitting next to her at dinner, whether it was due to her contrivance or merely to chance. Lady Marshall had been forced to wait for nearly 2 months. Finally, the Marquis had succumbed and accepted an invitation to what he was told was a dinner party. When he arrived, he was not really surprised to be told that the other guests had either been taken ill or called to the country. He and his hostess were alone. The end to the evening was inevitable. He was forced to admit to himself when he returned home as dawn was breaking that he had not in his previous affairs encountered anyone so fiery, so insatiable, or so extremely alluring. It was 2 days later that he learned that Lord Marshall had been smitten with a heart attack. He had been fishing in Scotland, and owing to